The text is the Holy Gospel from St. Mark. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Here ends our text. A couple of questions could be raised by this text. How could amazement at the words of Jesus and recognition of his miracles lead to being offended at him? How come the disciples aren't amazed at either Jesus' teaching or the townspeople's unbelief? Those questions could be asked, but one question demands an answer. Is Jesus only as powerful as you believe he is? Yes, he is. Don't believe me? Try these Bible passages on for size, all spoken by Jesus. Matthew 8, verse 13, "As you have believed, so let it be to you." Matthew 9, 22, "Your faith has made you whole." Matthew 9, 29, "According to your faith, may it be to you." And finally, Matthew 15, 28, "Let it be to you according as you will." The events here answer yes as well. Mark reports that Jesus could not do any miracles there in Nazareth except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. This is linked to their lack of faith by the very next sentence. "And he was amazed at their lack of faith." Only faith can receive the gifts, the promises, the miracles of the Lord. Luther used the image of trying to pour water into a cup that is held by a shaking hand to illustrate doubtful faith. You can pour very little into a cup that is shaking. So doubting faith grasps very little of the promises and power of God. Well, you can't pour anything at all into a cup that's turned upside down. That's unbelief. The people of Nazareth were unbelievers. They didn't bring their sick to him for healing as so many did at Capernaum. Yes, Jesus is only as powerful as you believe him to be. That statement makes you nervous. Yet it's a truism. Unbelief is like pulling the plug on a lamp. None of the power in that outlet can be conveyed to the light. The power is still there in the outlet. It just isn't any good to the lamp. The cord, which stands for faith, must be plugged into the outlet. Maybe a couple of illustrations will help. On March 9th, 1974, a Japanese soldier finally surrendered on a remote island in the Philippines, 29 years after World War II officially ended. Numerous attempts had been made to convince him through the years that the war was really over. The soldier didn't believe any of the messages. Now, was the war really over? Could that soldier have left his post? Could he have gone home to family and friends anytime over the last 29 years? Yes, yes, and yes. But because of his unbelief, the war was still going on for him. Here's an illustration from our own Supreme Court. In 1829, two men, Wilson and Porter, were convicted of murder while robbing the United States mail. They were both sentenced to hang. 3 weeks before the execution date, Wilson was pardoned by President Andrew Jackson. To the surprise of all and the anger of some, Wilson refused to be pardoned. He didn't believe he should be. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the court decision read in part, "A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered, and if it is rejected, we have discovered no power in this court to force it upon him." Wilson was really pardoned, but unbelief kept him in his cell, and it led him to the gallows. Now, you're really starting to squirm. If Jesus is only as powerful as I believe, then do I believe enough? Do I believe rightly? Looking in at your faith is the equivalent of looking down when standing on a high ledge. Don't do it. It will surely make your head spin and your heart pound. Then, why even ask the question, is Jesus only as powerful as you believe? So we can rebuke our old Adam, who thinks going through the motions is enough. The old Adam thinks sitting in church fulfills the third commandment. The old Adam thinks receiving the sacrament as ordinary food is enough. The old Adam thinks being forgiven doesn't call it to reject, break with, and leave its sins. Rebuke the old Adam that says it doesn't matter what or if you believe, only that you act the part. No, that's hypocrisy, which can fool me and everybody else, but it doesn't fool God for a moment. The God who sees into the heart sees hypocrisy. However, once your sinful nature is slapped down by answering, yes, Jesus is only powerful as I believe, leave that answer. While Jesus is only as powerful as you believe, faith doesn't come from pondering that answer, but this one. No, Jesus isn't only as powerful as I believe. Last week we were there when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. There's no indication that that 12-year-old girl believed anything at all. While her father knew who Jesus was and while he sent for him, it was in a last-ditch effort to save her from dying. He believed something. She, however, might have known nothing of Jesus' power. When Jesus casts out demons, there's no indication that the one possessed believes in Jesus as Savior or Lord. We can go elsewhere to see that Jesus does more than people believe. When Peter is imprisoned by Herod, the whole church is praying for his release. The Lord sends an angel to release Peter. Peter shows up on the doorstep of the praying church, but when a servant girl reports Peter is on the doorstep, they said she was out of her mind and made fun of her. The praying church didn't believe the Lord would do what they were asking, yet the Lord did it anyway. Or look at the life of Jacob and Haran. It was marvelously blessed despite the evil maneuvering of Laban, his father-in-law. His life there began with the Lord appearing to him and giving him the promised seed and earthly protection. How did Jacob respond? Not in faith, but in if-then unbelief. Jacob vowed, "If God will be with me, and if he will keep me in the way that I go, and if he will give me bread to eat, and if he will give me clothing to wear so that I might come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God." You understand, don't you? If you qualify any of God's promises with an if, you don't believe them. Yet the Lord was more powerful and more gracious than Jacob's unbelief. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Who believed at Calvary or on Easter morning? If Jesus is only as powerful as we believe, where was the faith necessary on Good Friday and Easter Sunday? The people there didn't stand at the foot of the cross. cross adoring God's sacrifice for their sins. They didn't rejoice to see all their sins being paid for by Jesus. The Marys didn't believe Jesus was suffering the eternal pangs of hell for their many sins of thought, word, and deed. John didn't gaze upon the bloody, beaten, dying Jesus and believe his sin of deserting him in Gethsemane was paid for. No one believed on Good Friday, as Romans 4 says, that Jesus was delivered up for our sins. And no one on Easter believed the second half of that verse either. Jesus was delivered up for our sins and raised again for our justification. God the Father raised Jesus as proof positive that all the sins of the world have been paid for once and for all. God the Father delivered Jesus to death for our sins and raised him to show that he had accepted that payment in full. Did the women who went to the tomb on Easter morning to rebury a dead Jesus believe God would raise him? Not hardly. Surely the apostles didn't believe it either. They were hiding for their lives for fear of the Jews, and they didn't believe the women when they told them Jesus had risen. Good Friday and Easter Sunday, they were festivals of unbelief. Yet were sins still paid for? You know they were, because God the Father did raise his Son. Jesus is not only as powerful as you believe. In fact, Jesus is far more powerful than any of us have ever believed. A man with a demon-possessed boy says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, help us." Though the man was eaten up by unbelief, Jesus healed his boy. Then there's the case of King Ahaz. The Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to him with the promise of victory over his enemies. The Lord invited Ahaz to ask for any sign, and even if it be as deep as hell or as high as heaven, and the Lord would grant it. But Ahaz did not believe he could ask for anything at all, and so refused to ask. Yet the Lord still gave this unbeliever the sign of the virgin birth. Focus on the fact that Jesus is revealed by Scripture to be more powerful and more gracious than anyone dare believe. He gives more forgiveness, heals more diseases, and is more merciful than we believe. Isn't that the truth? Doesn't the Scripture say he has more forgiveness than we have sins? Doesn't the psalmist praise him for healing all his diseases? And don't you say in the communion liturgy that his mercy endures forever? Faith lives from the promises of God. Faith grows, not by goading or by challenging it, but by hearing and focusing on the largeness of God's promises. In baptism, God does not promise you a better life, but a completely new creation. In absolution, God does not promise to send your sins only as far away from you as you can see them go, but as far as east is from the west. In communion, the body and blood of Jesus aren't present only if you believe they are. They are present because his word of promise puts them on our altar. So, go to your baptism when you're feeling like the same old sinner. Go to your absolution when you can't get any distance between you and your sins. Go to communion when Jesus feels distant from you. These are acts of faith. And no one who ever approached Jesus in faith, even little faith, came away disappointed. People who came in unbelief, they left empty-handed. Not because Jesus didn't have the power to help them, but because they wouldn't use it. This is such an unnatural response to the God of power, grace, and promise being present to help and heal that it even amazed Jesus. Well, he is present today for these same reasons, to help, to heal, to forgive. May we be the ones who go away amazed by what he does for us today. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.